raise up your children that we may go out and take the country. God, that we may possess this land and let the people know that our God is almighty, that our God, he reigns in the affairs of men. Lord God, just breathe afresh. Holy Spirit, breathe in this room. Life into each life. Zoe life, that lives may become alive in the spirit realm, that we may defeat every plan of the adversary. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn to your right, to your left. Just shake somebody's hand. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Good to see you. Belated New Year's greetings to one and all, pastors, wives, church brethren, children, in the name of Jesus. Already, we're on the 15th day. Better days are coming. Better days. So many things we'd like to be able to say. That song takes me back years to when I first got saved in this very church. Good old Jim Reeves. I still play him. Gentleman Jim. How can I get away from roots? I was listening to Jim before I was saved, and I'm still listening to Jim. Because to me, Jim has a message that has gotten to my soul. I'd rather have Jesus. We say it, but if we mean it, we will see. And I pray that this would be a year of advancing, advancement, possession. And as we possess, we'll be able to say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And surely, not only has he helped, he is helping, and he will forever continue to help as much as we give him access to our respective lives and also in our church life. We're looking at the family, and the old head is saying this and the heart is saying that. So by God's grace, we have to go with it. But church life, family life is very important. I believe we do know that. And yet sometimes we take family life for granted. I'm not speaking about now just church life, family church life. I'm speaking about home life. Because that's where we are found wanting, unfortunately, for so many. We come, and not to dampen your spirit, but we sing the right songs, we read the right scriptures, then we go back to what? To a home that is far from what it should be. And we are good. We are better than those artists that we go to watch, some of us, or you watch them on TV, and they're very good. But remember, it's fiction. We're dealing with reality here. So many silly things, X Factor and stuff, don't switch them on at all. I don't like it. But some like it because to them it's amusing. But what we have to be looking at as God's people is our homes. Because that's where the attack comes, in the home. And when it hits the home, it hits you hardest. Simply because your home, as the English would say, is your castle. Let anything happen outside of my home. Not wishing bad things. But when it comes into my home, then it affects all of us. Your performance, everything goes downhill. You spiral down because what is happening, you cannot handle it. This is where God has to be the one to be put in front. So often God is not consulted, and that's where the biggest problem lies, because we do it As Frank, the late Frank Sinatra said, my way. It may not be the best way, but it's my way. So God gives me way and I can continue until I self-destruct. That's not the will of God. Anyway, we start with the husband and the wife today. I don't know how far we'll get. I'm a husband, so I can talk. And I have a wife here, so she can talk. So if I'm saying some stuff that is not as it should be in our home, then she will tell you because she is that type of person. She has told me years and years ago when we first got married, she said, look, and I was in early ministry, any time that you're not behaving yourself well, I'll be the first to tell the church people. And I don't have a problem with that. I wish more people would be doing that because then I heard what the sister Wade said about family and life and things in order. And look, lady, you've never said a truer word than what you have said. Because I don't believe that we should be pretending, too many pretenders in church. And you don't have to say amen because I'd rather have Jesus. You see, the problem is that we go through motions and sometimes you tell the lie and you believe it's the truth. Because you've been living a life for so long that you convince yourself that that's the way it really is. But God says different. As far as I'm concerned, I am not this, I'm not that. I am what you see. And if you upset me, you'll know you upset me. We've got to be real. And many times over, that's what we are not in the homes. Husbands and wives are living like cats and dogs. A cat and a dog never marry. And we come to church, and nobody can praise like us. And you wonder why sometimes others, our children, don't want to come to church. The home has got a lot to answer for. And so Paul, the apostle, some said he was married, some said he wasn't. I don't know. I wasn't there. And what the Bible does not tell us, we should leave the secret things because they belong to God. Those things which are for us, he revealed. And so we are looking. And I trust that I'm not just going through some exercise that's empty here because it's on my heart. It is on my heart about the family because I see the family disintegrating. I see the family as what it is not or what it should be. It's very, very disheartening. And I'm speaking to church people. I'm not speaking to unsaved here. It's in the church. And if the church is not getting to grips with it, then the outside folks in the world, they will see us to be what we are not. That we are phonies. And that's where they say we don't want God in our lives. Here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Been going through the book of Colossians with the home church. Still not finished it. Been touching a bit on marriage. Husbands and wives. It's a ticklish, challenging, can be a very argumentative subject for some. Ephesians 5. 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For this cause shall a man leave. You have to leave them. Father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The Hebrew for man is Ish. The Hebrew for woman is Isha or Aisha. And some people have that name Aisha. I don't think they know what it really is saying. So the woman is Aisha and the man is Ish. Because Aisha comes out of Ish. Woman comes out of man. We have two schools of probably people here. Some who are feminists and some who are male chauvinists. God is neither. So neither are we or should we be. So if you're a feminist or if you are a male chauvinist, and I fail to add the P-I-G. God is neither of those two things. God is righteous, he's fair, he's just, and he wants everything to be holy. So, submit. That word submit, it creates a lot of problems. It causes so much trouble if that crops up and someone says, why don't you submit to me? Because for all intents and purposes, most of the time when we hear that, we tend to think it means you have to be a nobody and you have to be under the thumb and all of that. Submit is not talking about that. People say, well, it means to obey. Okay, in a sense. But to submit, here we're looking at submission to God. I am a pastor. We have pastors here. And this splendid looking gentleman here. I had to comment, brother, if I knew you were going to do this, I'd be brave enough to put mine on. Because he looks so nice. Back to the text. So pastors, officers, members of the church, all of us are to submit ourselves. Everyone submit yourselves. You see, it's not big chief, little chief. I don't believe in it. I don't agree with it. Because for many reasons, overworking among other people in the secular, it seems to be that is the way that things are run. That's the world's way. We don't want the world to be squeezing the church into its mold. We want the church to squeeze the world into its mold. We are God's love letter, which is read of men. And what men say about us is very important. Sometimes they may lie, but many times over they speak the truth because they're only saying what they know. If you want to be able to get to hear what's going on, even in church people, here's the places you should go. Go to a public place where people may be playing dominoes or drinking or partying, and they can tell you more about what's going on in the church as a fact than what I would ever hear, and I'm in the church every week. And a lot of what they're saying is T-R-U-E. Sad. You see, church life, as far as I am concerned, and ever will it be, is life. My family life, and here's what I have been educated in, because I always got it wrong years ago. I put the church first, and then my family had to bring up the rear. Wrong. It's wrong. Reverend Wade, it's wrong. My wife and my children come before the brethren with due respect to the brethren. And this is where problems begin. Because to make such a statement, it causes controversy, because people are saying, no, it's not that way. It is. Because if my children go into the wrong things, then I have to take a lot of the responsibility. And we need to understand that our homes must be guarded well. Must be looked after, catered for well. I am the head of our home. And I don't have to hide to say that my wife is here. And she knows it and she agrees with me. We are equals. But I have to take the main thrust of responsibility. My cousins in Antigua, they had a hurricane some years ago. And my cousin's father being the main breadwinner. All kinds of things were happening outside. He said to his family, his children, he said, look, I am the head of the home, I'm the breadwinner. If I die, everything stops. So whatever is going on out there, and you have to go, but I stay inside. Because if I die, your future dies with me. Strange, isn't it? You thought daddy would go out. Daddy say no, because if I die, your bread is over. Finished. You may disagree. But he's got a point. You see, so many of us as men, we have wives and children. If we die, God forbid, what about our wives and children? Oh, the church is there. Is it really? Make hay while the sun shines. My responsibility is first to my wife and my children. Then to the church. And that's God's order. And so we need to see that God places an importance on the family. After all, marriage. Who is the author? God. It's God's idea, not ours. Because if you look around keenly, you'll find that so many are saying, no, we will not marry, but we'll live over the brush. Or, it was to my amazement, we were in Africa, in Kenya, East Africa, some years ago with the brooms. And there was Pastor Mugu. I don't know if you remember him, Pastor Lewis. Pastor Mugu was about to get married. This is what his family was saying, as because of how they are in that family, in that group of people, that tribe. You live with her first to make sure she can have children, then you marry. And that's what his mother and father was telling Pastor Mugu. Reverend Brooms, Winston and Gloria Brooms, lovely people, said, Pastor, you can't do that. You cannot do that. That's not God's way. And for Reverend Brooms and Sister Brooms to persuade him, it took a lot for him to understand that's not God's way. So don't eat the cake before the wedding. Are you with me? The cake comes after you have the wedding ceremony. You have your wedding breakfast. Am I right? So those who are eating the cake before the wedding, that's not how God originated it to be. And you know what I'm talking? None of you are silly here. We need to understand that God has everything in order. It's not my way. You realize it was Joshua. He came to a point there when, in the book of Joshua, I believe he asked the angel of the Lord, are you with us or against us? Now, Joshua was the general in charge. Okay? So, he didn't know who he was dealing with. The pre-incarnate Christ. So when he saw the sword being drawn, what he's saying, who told you you could take your sword out? Jesus began to deal with him. And you know what Joshua did? He fell down on his face and started to worship because he realized, now I've bitten off more than I can chew. When we know who we are dealing with, that is he, God, we'll always take the low seat and we'll give him the high seat. We'll exalt God. But we have to know. You see, so often we want God, but on our terms. God never mixes and match on my terms. It's his way. God never actually plea bargains with any one of us. He does not have to. He's more powerful than that. And so it's either we accept God or we reject him. Because there's no in between. It's either you're with God or you're against God. And so wives. But before we get to the wives, in verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. This is why it is in church, you know. Well, that's why I said our officers and pastors and brethren, we have to submit to each other in the fear of God. The problem is in the church today, sad to say, a lot of the fear has left the church. I'll repeat. The fear has left the church. And if there is no fear, anarchy, chaos, confusion, all kinds of things set in, and we think it's normal. So our children grow up and think this is the way it should be. Some can remember when you got saved, how you had the fear of God in you. And I hope we still got the fear. Because it's the fear that causes me to behave the way God wants me to behave. Knowing that God expects me to be a certain kind of person. Not a man pleaser, but a God pleaser. And if we're God fearing, God pleasing, you'll find people who are like-minded will warm to you. Because you're two of a kind. And in the opposite, if you find you're God-fearing and people are not God-fearing, they'll ask you, who do you think you are? I didn't always fear God. I believed that God existed. But I didn't always fear him because I did what I wanted to do. Now that I am serving God, and the 13th of this month, Friday the 13th, some wouldn't go out, is our 35th year since God saved us here. My wife and I, 35 years. And it just seems like yesterday. I'm not serving God for 35 years or my wife to play the fool. You see, when you're young, you can do a lot of foolishness and bounce back. Some never get a second chance. But when 35 years have rolled out for me walking with God and living a life that is away from the life that I used to live and enjoy doing, what I am saying now is this. I have to fear God. This could be my last January fellowship service in this church or any church. And if it's my last, it must be one that I will remember and say, God, I thank you because you have helped me to continue to fear you. And because I fear you, it's because I love you. It's not the type of fear, whereas it's that you feel somebody's going to do something nasty to you or bitter towards you. That's not. It's a reverence I have for my God. And until the church get back to reverencing God, God's house and God's people, and the things that are of God, this is God's pulpit. This is God's lectern. And you can't come in here and have a blues dance because this is God's property. I am God's property. You are God's property. And I fear God. So this body of mine is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I heard Pastor Eugene speak about walk the walk. Say it again. And walk the walk and live what you say. I thought, that's good. That's what we need. We have to root out in the West Indies, in my country, when they're going to dig potatoes, the older folks would say, grabble. Isn't that right, Reverend? They're going to grabble. Yeah. You English folks don't know that word. Grabble. You see, I am here, but I'm not born here. So I can remember some of those stuff when they're going to grabble. Yes. In England, we say root. You see, every man to the own. I'm Caribbean, and ever will I be. Though I don't go on culture so much, I'm more into Jesus. But I am happy to be a black man. I'm proud. And you should be proud to be whoever God has originated you to be. You should be. But God wants me to come His way. I am the husband of one wife. And one is plenty. I speak to my Muslim colleague, the Imam. I said, how can you go with having wives? I said, how do you deal with it? He said, if you can financially look after them, you can have four. Look, trouble. And also I'll have you to know, in Islam, the wife comes after the mother in the marriage. I know because I speak to him, I want to know how Islam ticks. He said, if my wife does not please my mother or my father, and they say she has to go, she must go. I said, what are you talking about? And also in Islam, watch this, in the Quran, if the wife plays up, the husband is permitted to slap her. It's good to know what other religions say. I find it difficult. I find it even more difficult when I look and see how God allowed polygamy. Because it's right there in the book. Solomon had how many? Too many to mention. Is it a wonder the man got confused and messed up? But you know, God is always in front. He always sends the warning. Thank you, man. God sends the warning. And if Solomon had listened, he wouldn't have gotten into that mess. Because eventually they turned his heart. Lord, look at this. A tremendously gifted man, like some of us. Some of us are very well gifted in church. But there are areas in your life that hinders you. You wonder why some people are so gifted and they don't get anywhere? Something's wrong. And not anything wrong with God. It's got to be wrong with me. I'm speaking about church people, not people who are outside of the church. You see, we've got to deal with the problem in here. Because if we deal with it in here and address it, the homes will become blessed. We need to understand wives. You say, it's always the woman, isn't it? God is not unfair. He begins with wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Some put it means wives obey only. But you realize that this word submit, if we look at it at how God wants us to look at it, is a very loving word. It's a loving word. I will submit to my wife because I love her, for goodness sake. If I don't love her, I will not submit to her. And do you expect she's going to submit to me? She don't love me. Let's be real. Because I love her, Reverend Wade, I will submit to her. Before we came here today, she said something to me last night, and I kind of... I got up this morning and I said so-and-so to her and said, okay, I will do it. Huh? Because she was right. You know, it takes a man to admit when he's wrong. Amen, somebody. And some men say, I am never wrong and I'll never apologize. That's not a man. So I've got to give my wife her flowers while she can smell them. Because she's good for me. To me. She's my helpmeet. She's there as my helper. And she helps me well. Because she is actually who God has given to me. And ever shall she be. So if you are going to submit, wife, you must love him. Because if you don't love him, it will never happen. You won't respond to him because all you see is a man. Not your man. Simply because you fell out of love a long time ago. Church people. But we go through the motions. I know of some. They live in the same house. Pay the bills equally. But they live their separate lives. Tell me that's God, because I tell you it isn't. You said these things don't happen. Oh yes, they do. I know of one man, he was in the world and he spoke to me because he was married. He didn't behave as if he was married. And he had a mistress. I know the man because he told me. And his mistress was still living in the same house with the husband and father of her children, their children. But they lived separate lives. And listen to this. The husband would ask the wife, when is your boyfriend coming to stay again? Isn't it sad? Wicked? Iniquitous? That anything such could happen over my dead body? is my castle. And if you're going to take the castle, you're going to take me out first. That's not a threat, that's a promise. My task, my responsibility is to guard my house. And no man comes near. To disrespect me in where we are paying for. Can't happen. It will not happen. Because that will actually rubbish me in my own home. But it happens. I'm dealing with Christians. I'm not speaking to the unsaved. I'm speaking to Christian people here. Wife, if you don't love him, stop going through the motion. What will the people say? Whatever the people say, you've got to live the truth. Because when you're living a lie, not only do you suffer, but your offspring suffer. I deal with young men and a lot of them are damaged goods because of the home. The home is messed up. Their lives are messed up. And they become institutionalized. Because as far as they're concerned, that's the norm. Because of how they see mom and dad behave in the home. Outside we're lovey-dovey. Darling, honey. And not a word is meant. Christians. This is how good we have become. No fear of God. We need to understand, brethren, that God wants the home to be strong. A strong home is a home that will go places. We want spirit-filled homes where God is the head and where wives submit to their husbands. In a loving way. Because it's not, I'll beat you up if you don't do what I say. And that happens in some Christian homes too. You'll be amazed at how some men get roughed up. Hello? You'll be amazed at how some women are good at throwing right hooks. You're laughing, but I'm serious. We're speaking to believers here. These things sound funny, but it's reality. Believers in the Christian marriage must have grounds for submission. And with this, the marriage, the relationship, husband and wife, in the husband and wife scenario, the husband is the hunter, he's the aggressor. The woman is not that way given. Her genetics are different. So the man is the aggressor. So here's where it comes. The man is supposed to say, since he's the aggressor, I love you. One amen. The man is supposed to say it first. I love you. Because the woman is not usually the one that proposes to the man. Is it? Leap year or no leap year? The man usually proposes. Because he's the aggressor. He's the man, for goodness sake. And ladies, if he's not a man, you got to think fast what you're getting yourself mixed up with. If he don't work, if he does not work, you don't have a future. How's he going to look after you? He's the aggressor. He's supposed to supply for you. Not you go and work for him. I went out to East Africa, Reverend Lewis. The first time I went out there, I nearly died. I saw the women, baby on back or chest, and a bundle of wood on the head, and things carrying to go to the market to sell. And the man stays home, as soon as he comes home, hand it over. She has to give him what she has gained from her shamba or her garden. And he goes and he drinks. I've seen it and I felt incensed. Because I've never seen that before. But when I saw it, I felt angry. Because the man does not take his responsibility as a man. Only that he'll take whatever is hers. I hope it's changed. But when I see that, I'm thinking, God. Ladies, you who are here, you have a blessed life. Because no man's going to get you to carry wood. Your baby's strapped on your back. You go and dig the garden for provisions. And then you go and sell it when you come home. Hand over. No woman in England. Dare I say no woman in England? Or very few women in England would tolerate that type of behavior. And why should they? How can that woman love that man who abuses her mentally and physically?